Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Troy Williams, the executive producer of Radioactive, a progressive talk show on KRCL-FM in Salt Lake City. He's a former Mormon missionary who the Salt Lake Tribune recently named as the gay mayor of Salt Lake City. He appeared in the Errol Morris film Tabloid and is a producer of TLC's Breaking the Faith, which is about Mormon polygamist youth. Welcome to Background Briefing, Troy Williams.
Hey, Ian. So good to be back with you. Hi, L.A.
And this time we're not talking about Mitt Romney or the Mormon Church. you can't not talk about Utah and somehow not talk about the Mormon Church. But let's begin with this Supreme Court stay that has 1,300 married gay couples in legal limbo.
Right.
And it seems that this Supreme Court stay is in effect while the state of Utah appeals a lower court ruling allowing the union. So walk us through these steps of how the state referendum and the lower court ruling and the chronology, if you will.
Sure. Let's back up. 5 years ago, consider this. The state of Utah was intimately involved in sponsoring, financing, and organizing your Proposition 8, right?
Mm-hmm. So California, right, yes.
Exactly. And we knew that millions of dollars were flowing from the state of Utah into California. And when we discovered this, Utah's LGBT community, we were mortified. We were ashamed. And we sprung into action. We organized, we rallied, we litigated, and 5 years later, we brought marriage equality to the reddest Mormon state of Utah. So number one, that's phenomenal, and we're pretty excited about that, okay? So backing up, you know, in 2004, 66% of Utah voters approved Amendment 3 to the state constitution, which stated that marriage consists of only the legal union between a man and a woman, and that no other domestic union would be recognized as a marriage or given the same substantial equivalent legal effect. So we had plaintiffs that sued the state. The case was brought to a federal judge, Robert Shelby. The state defended Amendment 3, and they lost. And what Robert Shelby, what he argued was that, yes, Utah has the right to define marriage, but he also argued that the definition still has to fit within the U.S. Constitution. Amendment 3 doesn't do that. So what he declared, formally what he wrote was that the court declares the Amendment 3 to be unconstitutional because it denies the plaintiffs their right to due process and equal protection under the 14th Amendment of the United States Constitution. So this is epic for us. This is the first time a judge is saying that individuals, the LGBT individuals, have the constitutional right to marry who they love, and a majority of voters do not have the power to strip away the rights of minorities by referendum. The 14th Amendment protects us from the tyranny of the majority.
Well, I don't understand then, Troy Williams, why it is that the federal judge in Utah, Robert Shelby, based his decision on the Supreme Court's arguments that such bans violate gay and lesbian couple civil rights, and that is why he decided the way he did, and yet it's the Supreme Court who's put the stay, obviously right, at the behest of the state of Utah. So what...
what's really epic about this whole thing is that the state fumbled the ball. The Attorney General's office did not even request a stay. Now, this is a beginning law school blunder, all right? The state was inept, and so usually when you are in these kinds of court cases, as I'm told, you actually ask the judge, will you stay the ruling until we have the chance to appeal? They didn't do it. So our district attorney, Sim Gill, and the Salt Lake City mayor, Ralph Becker, they said, there's no stay here. Let's do it. And they started issuing marriage licenses. And in just 17 days, we've had over 1,300 gay and lesbian couples get married. And it's been so beautiful here. I mean, I've seen the footage when Mayor Newsom was his act of civil disobedience back in the day was issuing marriages in San Francisco. And I've seen these footage of these happy couples with their crying and just hugging. And we experienced that here in Utah, and it was so beautiful and so transcendent. The joy that was just coming out of the Salt Lake County City Building was incredible. And our mayor came down and started marrying people, and it was just stunning. It was so beautiful.
So what then happened?
Well, this is the state, the Attorney General's office, which really has been in complete disarray because a week prior, our Attorney General, a smarmy guy named John Swallow, had to step down because he's deep in ethics violations, okay? Allegedly, he's got shady dealings with all kinds of unsavory characters, and he was facing an imminent impeachment. So he stepped down, leaving the AG's office in complete disarray. So then they were like, they requested a stay of the Tenth Circuit Court, and the Tenth Circuit Court sent it back and said, you gotta ask Shelby first. Then they requested a stay of Shelby, and Shelby said no. Then they went back to the Tenth Circuit Court twice, and both times the Tenth Circuit Court said, no, we're not going to stay the ruling. Then they took it to the Supreme Court, who on Monday, they actually granted Utah's request for a stay. So now we are now basically, according to Governor Gary Herbert, he said that now all of these marriages are on hold. They're not voided. They're just on a hold in a kind of legal limbo until the higher courts decide. So that's where we're at right now. And I see it as another major blunder for the governor's office because it shows the very real harm that will come to queer families who don't have the protection of marriage. Because we were seeing couples now filing joint taxes, applying for partner health benefits. Many of them were in the process of legally adopting children for the first time. And now that's been stalled. I think it's cold-hearted and it's ruthless on the part of Governor Gary Herbert.
And again, I'm speaking with Troy Williams, the executive producer of Radioactive, a progressive talk show on KRCL-FM in Salt Lake City. He's a former Mormon missionary who the Salt Lake Tribune named as the gay mayor of Salt Lake City. He appears in the Errol Morris film Tabloid and is a producer on TLC's Breaking the Faith, which is about Mormon polygamous youth. So, Troy, since we mentioned the Mormon Church there, which is inescapable, right, when you're talking about Utah and Utah politics. Utah was one of the last states on the continental U.S. to join the Union, and a part of the resistance was that Mormon leaders were forced to adopt a state constitution declaring polygamy and plural marriages forever prohibited. And you know that there have been lots of breakaway polygamous sects, and you work on that on the TLC program, Breaking the Faith. So you certainly know a lot about this. So you have that incident, which goes back in history some time. And then you have, of course, Utah's ruling on AIDS at the height of the AIDS crisis. The state passed a law which was since overturned, barring people with AIDS from marrying and nullifying marriage as a partner if a partner had the disease. So there's a history here of marriage and judicial rulings in the state of Utah, obviously.
Yeah, and it's so interesting that this decision by Judge Shelby came about a week after a U.S. District Judge guy named Clark Waddups ruled that the state can't ban consenting adults from actually living together in a conjugal relationship. Now, our bigamy statute was what we were using to persecute polygamous families living in the state, and it's why Cody Brown, who is the patriarch of the TLC show Sister Wives, picked up his family and moved to Nevada. And he actually filed against the state because there was rumblings that the state was going to come after him and his family. So he actually brought this case forward, and the judge ruled in Cody Brown's favor. Now, what's different about polygamous marriages and the legality of this is that when you talk to polygamous families, most of them are libertarians. They don't necessarily want legal recognition for their multiple wives. They really just want their lifestyle to be decriminalized. And I think that any time that we do something that helps a marginalized people come out of the shadows, that's a good thing. We have 30,000 polygamous families living in Salt Lake Valley. Okay, this is the capital county. And they shouldn't live like they are outlaws. And in situations like with the fundamentalist Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints that's featured on Breaking the Faith, you know, we do see lots of child abuse. We have seen really horrific abuses. They need to feel like it's safe for them to come out into mainstream society and access the services that we have to offer them, whether it's public schools or it's a domestic abuse shelters or support. And I hope that by this being struck down, that by this decriminalizing of polygamous families, that polygamous families that are in abusive situations will feel like they can come into the mainstream society and get the help they need.
Well, but aren't this, this polygamy is not without its consequences and without its problems, right? I mean, a lot of the young girls that become the new brides of these polygamous men, none of whom I've seen on television look anything like George Clooney, I might add. They are sometimes only 13 years old. So,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
if you were to bring these people out from the shadows, there still has to be rules, surely, for society.
Well, you know, absolutely. And we have to do everything we can to protect young people and to actually offer support for these families. Because marrying off a 13-year-old girl or a 14-year-old girl is absolutely unacceptable. And what we see in the FLDS, now not all polygamists are the same, and that's a very important distinction. There are more mainstream polygamists that live in the suburbs, and you wouldn't know that they were different to look at them.
Well, we saw that in the HBO series. We're all familiar. Yeah. That's what you're talking about, right?
Yeah. Big Love did a beautiful job of showing the different kinds of polygamists. And there are many in this valley who send their kids to public schools, who pay their taxes, they're good, upstanding citizens. They just have this theological belief in a patriarchal marriage structure. And this is all, you know, revealed by the prophet Joseph Smith back in 1830s. He's the one that kind of started all of this, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the mainstream LDS church has done their best to distance themselves, but these fundamentalist Mormons are trying to maintain and perpetuate the original teachings of the prophet Joseph Smith. And some people are sincere in their religious devotion. Some women enter into plural marriage without coercion, but there are many who don't, and that's really the issue that we have to take issue with.
Well, I'm interested in the sense that, you know, that gay marriages are being punished by a state because of its reactionary attitudes, and
right.
At the same time, we're saying, well, maybe we should be more lenient on plural marriages. And
they haven't touched the plural marriage issue.
Uh-huh.
You know that they're coming after the gays. They're trying to hurt our families, but they've been mum on polygamy, and that has not gone unnoticed by us here.
Oh, I see. So you're the one that's calling for a little more tolerance and restraint and understanding here, but in effect, what's going on with the authorities, say the church people who are clearly, and the politicians and the governor who are behind this
yeah.
ban on gay marriage, they are turning a blind eye to polygamy. But you were telling us earlier that the polygamous families live underground.
Right. They do. Well, some of them do. Not all of them do. And we're seeing more of them, like with Sister Wives on TLC, we're seeing more of them coming out and sharing their lives with people. And, you know, I don't believe that there's anything untoward happening in Cody Brown's family. They seem like a happy family, and I believe that's accurate. I do know plural families that are great people, and I don't want to, like, marginalize all of them. But I've also seen extreme abuses in polygamous scenarios, particularly in the FLDS communities that you can see on Breaking the Faith on TLC. There is extreme abuse happening there, and we really have to do everything that we can to make them help these families feel safe, to feel welcomed, that they can come to the state and access state services that might help them out of their abusive situation.
So back to the the stay on gay marriage, where you've got 1,300 gay and lesbian married couples in limbo now.
Right.
What, Troy Williams, what in the last few minutes, what's the next step? I take it you're not taking this lying down.
No way. You're going to see the LGBT community rise up like never before. We got rallies planned. I'm even hearing rumblings today of a class action lawsuit. I mean, the state just raked in $59,000 in marriage license fees. All right. And so what's going to happen there? You know, are they welching on the deal here? We signed a contract with you. We paid money for this. And now you're backing out? No way. You're going to see the LGBT community organize like ever before. And here's the consequence, okay? We're going to take this to this is being appealed to the 10th Circuit Court in Denver. We're going to go there and we're going to win. And then that will be appealed again by the state all the way to the Supreme Court. We're going to argue there and we're going to win. And when we win, our case, we hope, will be the case that strikes down all the remaining 30-some anti-gay marriage bans in other states, effectively making gay marriage legal in all 50 states. Then we will all see that happen within the next year or two. So that's what the consequences are of this case, and we're going to fight all the way, and we're going to be fighting for every single state that has a marriage ban, and we're going to bring marriage equality to the entire nation.
But Troy, you're up against a fairly formidable force in the Mormon Church. You mentioned that they financed Proposition 8 here in California. They scuttled the ERA. It almost became a constitutional amendment, but for the intervention of the Mormon Church.
That's right. You're right.
And they've also kept denial of abuse in the Boy Scouts under wraps forever because they dominate the Boy Scouts. So. You're taking on a very reactionary group there.
You bet we are. But, you know, who would have ever thought 5 years ago that we would have brought marriage equality to Utah? And so this is my message to all activists out there. I don't care if you're working on immigration reform, if you're working on climate justice issues. If you get discouraged and you get worn down and you think that the obstacles are too great, I want you to remember this phrase: we brought marriage equality to the state of Utah. And we're going to take it all the way to the Supreme Court. And the Mormon Church, you know, I think what I'm seeing is that when you talk to Latter-day Saints who are under the age of 30, they don't want this battle anymore. You talk to Republicans and evangelicals, they don't want this battle anymore. They love their gay friends, they love their gay family, and they are marching with us. I have so many Mormon friends that are on board fighting with us, and they're the ones that are going to create change within the LDS Church. You watch it happen.
But isn't it a church run by octogenarians?
Absolutely, and they're completely out of step with the will of their members. And you know, and thankfully, they have taken a back seat with all of this. I think that they can see the writing on the wall. They know which way the wind is blowing, and I think that if you could get them to speak honestly, they know they've lost.
So is this a case really of not so much the Mormon Church being behind it, but these reactionary politicians like your governor, and you've also got that incredibly right wing senator Mike Lee who won in a caucus, for God's sake, against toppling a very conservative senator Bennett. It looks like he's been a little chastened by the government shutdown. Is he being as loud and obnoxious as usual?
No, there's so much rumblings in the mainstream Republican Party to oust him when his time is up, and he is not popular here. And I would be very happy to support a moderate Republican. I can't believe I'm saying this out loud and on radio. I would be happy to support a moderate Republican to replace a fanatic, a Tea Party fanatic like Senator Mike Lee.
So, just in closing, then, Troy Williams. When do you start hitting the streets with your demonstrations?
Friday at the Capitol, at our state capitol rotunda. We have got a big rally planned. We've got a big giant wedding reception that we're doing on Saturday. We've got the Sundance Film Festival coming in the week after, and so there's lots of action going on there with a great marriage equality film about Prop 8, actually. And so we're going to keep all of these stories on the front page. And this is where Governor Herbert has really screwed up, is because now, you know, all of these LGBT families have suffered these indignities in silence. But that's done now. We are going to be on the front page of the newspaper every day. We're going to be on your television. We're going to be on the radio. Utahns are going to see LGBT families now like never before, and their hearts are opening, and we're going to see this state shift. You watch it. You wait for it. It's happening, I promise you.
Well, thank you so much for joining us here today, Troy Williams.
Thank you. It's been great.
Again, I've been speaking with Troy Williams, who's the executive producer of Radioactive, a progressive talk show on KRCL-FM in Salt Lake City. He is a former Mormon missionary who the Salt Lake Tribune named as the gay mayor of Salt Lake City. He appeared in the Errol Morris film Tabloid and is a producer of TLC's Breaking the Faith, which is about Mormon polygamous youth. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back talking about Republican success in killing healthcare reform at the state level.